Welcome to the Field Log Podcast, weekly reflections for the Warrior King to help you master yourself, fulfill your purpose, and conquer the day. I'm your host, Marcian Sicario. Field Log, Day 129, On Self-Doubt. I remember early on in my career, right, when I graduated from university and started working in software development, I was making $65,000 a year. That was my first year salary. This was 2017. It was definitely good money, right? Many people don't get up to that number even at the end of their career, depending on what field they work in. But I remember feeling like I wanted more, right? And we can psychoanalyze that all we want. We won't today. But I set out to try to earn more money, right? Maybe either through a career switch, which I discussed a couple of field logs ago, or by, you know, switching to another company or trying to get a raise or a promotion in my firm. I wanted to make more because I saw everyone around me making more. And again, there's lots of ways you can psychoanalyze that, but all of my friends that I graduated with, we're starting to make six figures, right? That coveted $100,000 a year mark, which of course now is a lot less than it used to be, right? This is the interesting thing about these thresholds. Another example of a threshold like this is being a millionaire. A lot of people think, oh, if I become a millionaire, I'm incredibly wealthy. A millionaire 20, 30 years ago is like 2.3 million today. So that number doesn't mean quite what it used to. But the point was that I wanted this. Now, interestingly enough, I somehow felt like I couldn't do it. Everyone else around me was doing it, right? My friends from university were doing it. There are lots of software developers who do this. But I didn't really believe it could be done. And I never did start believing it could be done until I did it. Eventually, I decided to go looking for another job. I put my resume out there. I got contacted by a recruiter. I saw how much they were offering. It was a lot more than six figures. I mean, it was six figures, but it was a lot more than 100,000. It wasn't just, you know, 100 or 101. And then I believed it after it was done. And that's what I want to talk about today. Self-doubt. Now, there's a lot of cliche advice that I could repeat here. I could tell you to believe in yourself, right? I could tell you nothing is impossible. The word even says, I'm possible. I could tell you to visualize, which I won't. There are 101 ways to try to communicate the reality that we ought to not doubt ourselves as much as we do. But I'm not going to do any of that. I'm going to give you a toolkit to remove self-doubt when, let's say, reasonable, right? When appropriate. Because some self-doubt is good, right? This isn't going to be a panacea that's going to make you psychotically optimistic. That's not what this is about. But self-limiting beliefs, where do they come from? How do we get rid of them? I want to start with where do they come from, obviously, and start at the beginning. We have a trait as humans, right? We have a process, a method, if you will, by which we try to predict the future from the past. Right? It's a relatively decent system of, let's say, forecasting, right? That's what this really is. But of course, if you ever look at financial advice, it always has a note in the corner, really small font, reads something along the lines of, past results do not predict future performance, or past results are not indicative of future performance, or past results do not guarantee future performance, or maybe even this is not financial advice. But there's always some sort of asterisk, some sort of caveat that just because this worked before doesn't mean it's going to work today. And interestingly enough, we can flip that on its head. Just because this hasn't worked before, or it hasn't happened before, that doesn't mean that it's not going to work today, tomorrow, next week, next month. But I think it's useful to understand, why do we have this tendency? Why do we think that we cannot do something we haven't previously done, or we cannot have something we haven't previously had? Maybe some of you grew up in poor families. Mine was never this way, but I've heard a lot of other people's families say something along the lines of, oh, we don't have that, you know, we're poor. You know, we're never going to have that. That's not happening for you. You're not going to be able to do this because we're poor. This is just who we are as a family. Like, rich people make money and they get opportunities to live in a nice house and drive a nice car and whatever, but we don't get that. Now, of course, I want to make it explicitly clear that when I'm using examples today, I'm not endorsing or not endorsing any one thing or another, right? I'm not telling you that it's objectively moral good to live in a big house or drive a nice car or whatever, right? If you want to know my positions on money, listen to the episodes on the root of all evil and money as a tool. I talk about my explicit perspectives on that stuff there. It's a lot more nuanced. But I'm going to use examples for the sake of example, obviously. But this is where that instinct comes from. This is where that self-doubt comes from, right? Let's say you've never been in a relationship. Let's take that as an example. Let's say you're listening to this, you're a young guy, you're, I don't know, 18, 19, 20, 21 maybe even, and you've never dated anyone. You've never had a woman show interest in you. I actually had a friend like this a couple of years ago. He's a very upstanding guy. I thought he was reasonably good looking. He's very strong, dressed well. But he never kissed a girl. And he had this implicit belief that it just wasn't possible for him. I could tell. We never really talked about it. But the first time he found out that a girl liked him, right? A girl in our church who liked him, he didn't believe it. He thought we were pulling his leg when we told him. He's like, yeah, this girl's into you, man. She said so. He's like, no, you guys are kidding. No, we weren't. Until it happens, chances are you won't believe it. Because we try to predict the future from the past as humans. That's what we do. On top of that, of course, there's a spiritual angle. And since I'm going to take a quick diversion into spiritual territory, usual disclaimer, I'm not a priest. I'm not a theologian. I'm not any of those things. Read the footnotes. But we know from the writings of the fathers that the devil tries to plant doubt in our head, right? Usually about spiritual topics, of course, and he doesn't care much about the car or whatever. But let's say you want to be the kind of person who wakes up early and prays before bed, reads spiritual literature, right? Takes the great fast seriously. And of course, I'm recording this during week 2 of Lent. You guys are all having a good, great fast so far. Hope God is blessing it for you. You want to be that kind of person, let's say. And you just can't do it. And then you think to yourself, oh, I'll never be like this and this person, right? I'll never be like St. John, the wonder worker. I'll never be like Mary of Egypt, who turned her entire life around, right? And ironically, there's a story right there of somebody who broke the pattern. So the devil will play on your self-doubt. Whatever it is that God is calling you to, right? Your salvation first, holiness first, and then being a good man, stewardship, taking good care of your body, developing your talents, is always going to take redemption, in a manner of speaking. To say that if something has been set in your path by God, right? If he wants you to be a certain person or do a certain thing, that you can't do it, is a lack of faith. And ironically, what is the opposite of faith? It's doubt, right? There are three theological virtues. We get this straight from St. Paul: faith, hope, and love. And the opposite is doubt, despair, and pride. So self-doubt is a place mentally, spiritually, that we as Christians should not be in. But that's where doubt comes from, neurologically, right? At least, sort of completely, you know, biologically, neurologically, we try to predict the future from the past, right? If you've never done something before, if you don't know what it looks like to be financially successful, or you don't know what it looks like to be physically fit or strong, maybe you're historically overweight, and you think, just subconsciously, you think that this is who I am. I'm just overweight. I'm always going to be overweight. Or you're really skinny, and you just don't really think that you can be fit, strong, muscular even. There is no reason that's true. There's no reason that has to be true. And that is, quite simply, the cure. Is proving yourself wrong. I saw this quote from some podcaster, and I don't know his name. I see his face everywhere. He's the British guy with short hair. He says something along the lines of, you don't believe in yourself. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he says, you don't start believing in yourself by doing affirmations in the mirror every morning. You start believing in yourself by giving yourself undeniable proof that something actually is true. Now, of course, this doesn't help very much at first. But once you start to get that ball rolling, self-doubt becomes harder and harder to maintain. It gets more difficult for self-doubt to take root in your mind, in your heart, once you start to get on a streak. And what do I mean by that? Well, first, I want to touch on affirmations real quick. For those of you who haven't heard of these, God bless you. But affirmations are just looking in the mirror and saying things like, I am successful, I am handsome, right? I am strong, women like me, blah, blah, blah. It is incredibly goofy. It doesn't work. It hurts more than it helps. I read an article, lines of when they studied this, they found that people who told themselves affirmations by and large felt worse afterwards. Because you're looking in the mirror and you're seeing a fat slob and you're saying to yourself, I'm fit and healthy. And your brain is saying, no, you're not, doofus. That's not true. So you're lying to yourself. It's not going to make you feel very good. Do you want to prove to yourself that you're a hard worker? Then work hard. Right? Now, of course, like I said before, this doesn't help very much in the beginning. So unfortunately, what it's going to take to start eradicating self-doubt is to get the ball rolling yourself. There has to be a stroke of motivation. There has to be a stroke of, heck, divine intervention probably. But you have to get started, right? For the last 3-4 weeks, I have not been able to get up on time. I mentioned this on last week's field log. I've not been able to do it. I set my alarm for 6:30. I get out of bed at 8:30. I set my alarm for 7:30. I get out of bed at 9. No matter what I do, I could not get out of bed on time. And I was talking to my fiance a couple of days ago, and I was telling her, what was I discussing? There was some very specific problem surrounding this that I was discussing, something along the lines of, oh yeah, I remember. How am I going to make sure that I don't watch TV tonight, that I actually turn on my paraffin lamps so that I can get to bed on time and be, you know, sufficiently tired? And she says, something along the lines of, she's picking on me, she says, it's amazing that you haven't been able to fix this yet, but you still haven't figured it out. And then I told her, I knew that she was joking, but I took it as a lesson to, or as a moment to give her a lesson. I said to her, the only difference between the winner and the loser is that the loser quit before he could win. And then, of course, she said, yeah, I'm not trying to tell you to quit. That's not what this is about. And I said, of course, but I wanted to take that as a chance to be explicit about this. The only difference between the man who wins and the man who loses is that the man who loses quit before he could win. If you keep trying and keep attempting to do it differently and experimenting and reading and trying to find a new way, one of two things is guaranteed to happen. Either you win or you die. That's better than win or lose or die. You've already removed the possibility of failure. You've literally removed the possibility of failure. So the only thing that can happen is either you figure this out or you die before you have a chance to. I like those odds. I think that's pretty good. And lo and behold, what time did I wake up this morning? 7:30 sharp. My alarm goes off. I get out of bed. I walk all the way across the apartment. I grab the phone. Bring into the bedroom. I'm very groggy. Or I was. I'm not anymore. But I got up. I did win. And how did I not watch TV at 8:39? It took a small push of discipline, but I turned on my paraffin lamps. I put away all my electronics. I pulled out my whittling kit, because I've recently been wanting to get back into wood carving. And I kept working on a little piece of wood I was carving, I want to say a year and a half ago. But I was able to do it. I kept trying different things. I pulled it off. And that's what you're going to have to do. Right? I want to take maybe two or three examples here to really give you a feeling for it. Let's say that you have not had luck finding a woman who is interested in you that you are interested in to, you know, pursue in potential marriage. And you think to yourself, I'm just not good looking. I'm just not good with women. I'm just not this. I'm just not that. It's not true. All of it is not true. And here's how I know. Because when I graduated high school, I was 135 pounds. Before senior year, I was 125 pounds. I had moderate to severe acne, right? This is something we've never talked about before, but I want to really be explicit here. I had moderate to severe acne on my face. I had this very coverage of acne on my face. So what did I do? One, I cut my hair. I started eating cleaner so that my skin would clear up, and it did start to clear up. And then over the next few years, eating clean, my skin eventually got good. At this point, it's pretty decent, which, by the way, we will have a field log on taking care of yourself and appearance and those kinds of things. But as a tip on skincare, use tallow, right? It's one of the best things you can put on your skin. It's all I use now. But I started to take care of my skin, and I was reading books, right? Sounds goofy, but it's on brand for me, right? The charisma myth. How to win friends and influence people. How to talk to people, right? I was not a particularly likable person when I was in high school. I was very arrogant. I still struggle with that sometimes. God forgive me. But if I could show you a picture of what I looked like at the beginning of senior year of high school and what I look like now, you would not believe your eyes. Of course, you know, finding someone who's right for you goes beyond attraction, but attraction is an element of it. I personally believe so. Maybe some people disagree with that, but I think it is unfair to want a beautiful wife and to not you yourself attempt to be as handsome as you can be. But the point is, no matter what setbacks you think you currently have, I assure you that there is a lot of room for growth. So you really have two options in a situation like that, right? If you are this guy, if you're resonating with what I'm talking about right now, where you feel like you haven't had any luck with women, we've talked about this before on the field log, how to be attractive. We've talked about receiving your blessings, right? All of these episodes that I'm listing right now, if you're not recognizing those titles, go listen to those after this, if you feel so inclined. The only way you're going to pull this off is by believing in yourself and believing the reality that I'm communicating to you right now, that there is a lot of room for growth. Or you can choose to just accept your self-doubt. I mean, I did it. And there's nothing special about me that you don't also have, or that you don't have some sort of analog to. But there's no reason why I'm successful in business that you can't be. There's no reason why I'm getting married in 2 months that you couldn't get married soon. There's no reason why I should be, you know, an advanced athlete and you shouldn't. The point is that self-doubt is defeated by giving yourself evidence. If something like finding a woman seems too difficult, start with something small. Start with something like waking up on time, right? That's the one that I've really been wrestling with. I've really, really been wrestling with over the last 2-3 months. Keep trying things. Something will work eventually, right? If you think about it mechanically, is it physically impossible for you to remove your body from your bed on time and get up and stay up? No. It's just uncomfortable. So you want to remove the discomfort and increase your ability to push through the discomfort, right? You want to attack it from both sides. You yourself get stronger and the challenge becomes less challenging. So that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to get the best sleep that I can and then trying to make myself disciplined enough to actually get out of bed when I'm tired. I'm trying to not be freaked out by the sensation of fatigue so much. And then once you're up for a little while, you do become alert, right? Let's take another example. One more, maybe. We're starting to run out of time. let's say that you've been caught in a career, right? This is an example that I use all the time. Let's say you've been caught in a career that doesn't have a lot of chance for advancement, that is very fatiguing to you, right? Maybe you don't enjoy it very much. Maybe it's stressful. Maybe it's boring, whatever it is. And you're telling yourself, well, I'm never going to be wealthy because my father wasn't wealthy and my grandfather wasn't wealthy. And I'm not going to be able to have enough to take care of a stay-at-home wife if that's what you want, right? You want to live a traditional life. That's what me and my fiance are going to do. That's what we're going to do. If that's what you want, you know, like, I can't do this. Well, why not? But what is it about you that makes you so bad? It's stewardship. Why? Is it because you were previously poor? Well, guess what? 1 week ago, the weather was rainy. It was previously rainy. And today it's not. That's the law of the universe. Things change. You have at least some agency to push things in a certain direction. So if this is something you want, you're tired of spending the majority of your waking hours doing something you do not enjoy, doing something that's really painful to you, and that doesn't even give you a good payoff, change it. There are 1,001 ways you can do better. My favorite way, because I think it's very straightforward and because it's what I do myself, is software development. There's nothing stopping you from using your weekends and your evenings to learn software development, to build a portfolio, and to apply like crazy until you figure it out. Or you can start a business with no startup costs. You can do something like dropshipping maybe, which I've never done myself, but I'm just throwing out ideas. You could do something like print on demand. There are lots of businesses that you could build. You could do something like selling crafts on Etsy, maybe. Maybe you have a knack for something like that. You can also buy and resell things on the internet. I know a lot of people that do that with pretty good success. You just have to start trying things. You need to give yourself undeniable proof that you are the person that you want to be, that you are the person that you say you are. That's how you conquer self-doubt. Don't let those thoughts worm their way into your head and live there rent-free. Do something about it. Change your perspective. So that's what I want you to do today, as usual, for this week. I want you to think about this. Whatever you're doing right now, the usual, right? If it's safe to do so, pull out your phone, pull out your notes app, pull out your calendar, pull out your physical piece of paper, pull out your chisel and rock. I don't care. And write down a time. Carve out a time. 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. I don't care what it is. Before bed, afternoon, lunch break. And think about just one thing. One thing where you've been doubting yourself. Go through the 7 commitments as a tool if you need to. I haven't believed in my ability to pray every morning and every night. Or I haven't believed in my ability to make more money to take care of my family. Or I haven't believed in my ability to build a strong, capable body. Or I haven't believed in my ability to make something beautiful, to be a good artist, to be a good, I don't know, guitarist, pianist, whatever, painter. And then come up with some ideas on how to prove yourself wrong. Generate some ideas, things to try, and keep trying. Remember that the only difference between the winner and the loser is that the loser quit before he could win. Do that today. Reflect. Brainstorm. Problem solve. To take on self-doubt. That's it for this week's Field Log. If you like what you heard today, you can follow this podcast on whatever platform you're listening on right now. You can also rate the show. That always helps out a lot. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok at marcian.cx for Field Log snippets, art, philosophy, and training-related content. You can also visit the website at marcian.cx for much more of the same. I'm still working on consolidating the Warrior King content into the marcian.cx project. So check back at the website soon for the new and improved Warrior King training protocol, which is going to include supersets and my updated supplement recommendations. There's also a 2024 goal setting guide on the way, and of course the Warrior King newsletter. If any of that sounds appealing to you, the links to everything are in the show notes below. It's all free, and as always, conquer the day.